Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to this service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church, where we serve Christ by cultivating mission, inclusion, and community. As you can see, we have sort of a big pickup choir this morning. I'm glad all of you all are here. Glad all of you all have chosen to come out on this temperate December morning. The first thing I want to do is to say thank you. I'm working on my 11th year here, and never before have I been able to say this, and that is we exceeded our goal for pledges. And that is only due to your generosity. So when you all are applauding, you're applauding yourselves for your amazing willingness to share in the life and work of this church. So thank you to all of you. Second, today, two very exciting things. Immediately after this service down in Knox Hall, for those of you who are visiting, go to the bottom of the steps and go take a left. We are celebrating the ministry and soon retirement of the Reverend Joanne Blair. So please come down and just tell her how much you appreciate her, because all of us do. The second, tonight, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, out here out front of the church from 4 to 7, we have a live nativity. That is right, a live nativity. Animals, people, you get to feed the animals. Come, enjoy, take pictures. It's going to be a great evening. One last ask. If you are coming to the 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock Christmas Eve services, even if you're not, what we're asking you to do is bring additional mittens, scarves, hats for children. We got the word this week from Alcott that the vast majority of their children do not have these things. And if you can imagine, most of them wait out for the bus, and as the air is going to turn cold soon in January and February, and children without those things. So just run wherever, run to Target, run wherever you can, pick some up, bring them here. And if you're coming at 2 or 5, just bring them with you then, because it really will make a difference in the life of a child. So now, with those announcements made, let us stand and greet one another in the name of Christ. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. Creator God, we hope you are listening. We are here hoping that your light will shine upon us. Help us become the people you desire us to be. Help us become a people of love, peace, and justice. Take our hands in yours and guide us into the life you have planned for us. Let us worship God. I am reading Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The world is about to change, and it will begin with the announcement of the angels. The nations will learn how to follow the way of God. And it will begin with God's love washing over the earth. Peace will come to a fearful creation. And it will begin as all nature finds its purpose in God's creative presence. Join me in the unison prayer. God, whose love is for all life, give us the ability to be at peace. not only with you and our neighbors, but with your creation. Allow us to see your amazing grace at work. Make this world one in which peace reigns now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would invite the children to join me down front. Yeah, it's getting crowded up here. Oh, put it right in there. Thank you. Well, Mr. Getting Bigger could hear them all the way down the hall. Ralphie and Ralphette were, what do you think they were doing? Arguing, yes. They were arguing, and he couldn't quite hear what they were arguing about, but he decided he'd have to go check it out, and so he went and he said, okay, what are you guys arguing about this time? And Ralphie said, we're arguing about who's better. And he said, you mean which one of you? No, not which one of us. I think shepherds are better, he said. And Ralphette said, no, angels are better. No, shepherds, angels, shepherds. Angels. And he said, well, wait a minute. Why are you arguing about this? And they said, don't you remember at Christmas Eve, we get to choose which we're going to be? We get to choose to be a shepherd or we get to choose to be an angel? And Ralphie said, I think shepherds are better, so I'm choosing to be a shepherd. And Ralphette said, nope, angels are better, so I'm going to be an angel. So Mr. Getting Bigger looked at him and said, okay, so you know what I'm going to tell you. And they said, they're the same. And he said, yep. Because think about it, he said, without the angels, no one would have known that Jesus was born in the manger. The angels showed up and said to the shepherds, look, this baby's been born who's going to be the Savior of the world. But without the shepherds, who took what the angels told them and took it to Mary and told her, she wouldn't have known what her baby was. So they're both really important. So whether you become a shepherd or an angel on Christmas Eve, it doesn't matter. Because they're both very important to letting everyone know just how special Jesus is. Can you guys say a prayer with me? Thank you, God, for telling people about Jesus. Help us to tell others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can go on to Sunday school.
It is so very easy for us to just kind of settle in and be comfortable with the status quo. But God calls us to more. Confident in God's grace, let us join together in the prayer of confession, confessing our sins among each other and before each other and before God. God of creation and new creation, forgive us when we become satisfied with things as they are, when we assume that because our lives are good, so are those of all other people. Open our eyes to the needs of others, both near at hand and far away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Friends, we have a just and a merciful God. And in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together using the printed words for our prayer, of our prayer for illumination.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God of new beginnings and unexpected encounters, open our eyes and ears that we might be transformed by your word today. Amen. Our First Testament lesson is from the book Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 18 to 21. If you'd like to follow in the Pew Bible, the reading begins on 697, page 697. Listen for the word of the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and I am coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them. From them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Put and Lod, which draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your kindred from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring a grain of offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, and I will take some of them as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Absolutely fabulous. And to Andrew, appropriate for today. You'll find out why in a few minutes. So we turn our attention now to another well-known verse. How many of you have seen Charlie Brown's Christmas special? Okay, then you've heard this again and again and again. This is out of the second chapter of Luke. We are reading verses 8 through 14. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The word of the Lord. It just needed a little love. It just needed someone with a little bit of love and a lot of passion for Corvettes. It was a 1954 Corvette Roadster. And it was sitting in a car museum in St. Louis in need of some love and passion from someone who cared about restoring cars back to their original condition. Because this car really did need a lot of passion and love. The interior was shot. It was going to need a total rehab of the interior. The camshaft, for those of you who are car people, the camshaft, one of the lobes was all worn off, and so some of the valves weren't opening like they were supposed to. The Powerglide 2-speed famous Chevrolet transmission needed a complete rebuild. The electrical system had originally been a 6-volt system, and someone had traded it out for a 12-volt system, and it didn't quite work. And none of the dash lights would turn on. And then there were just other things, and so it needed someone to love on it. And then along came our own Mark Royce. And I asked his permission to talk about this morning. And so he bought it and he brought it home and he did it all himself. Restitched the interior, put it all in. He rebuilt the transmission. He rebuilt the engine. And in fact, even found out where to get a little tiny screw for one of the headlamp rings from Helio Castor Nevis, for those of you who know who that is. And that vet now looks like it rolled off the showroom floor. It is as good as new. Now, I know that he's not alone here in people who do that, okay? I can look around this room and I can see people for whom this is their passion, is taking old things, not us, but old things, and restoring them to as good as new, whether it's an automobile, a piece of furniture, an old house. But what it takes is love and passion. And if you've ever done that, or you know someone who has, then you get a small sense of the kind of love and passion God has for this creation, for heaven and earth, that God has in God's restoration work for all the universe. Because that is what this entire story from beginning to end is all about. It's about God's love and passion for the heavens and the earth and for restoring them to be as good as new, as God always intended them to be. And to see that, all we have to do is just go a little bit farther into that Isaiah passage that was read this morning. Because if you go down to verses 22 and 23, or 22, this is what Isaiah says. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so that your descendants and your name will remain. The Hebrew there for new is not new as in sell the old, buy something new. It is in restoring, restoration, bringing back what is sort of broken to what it ought to be, to what it was originally. Now, I have to say, over the years, this was a strange concept for me, that God would renew the heavens and the earth. So let me ask, how many of you think the earth needs some work? All right. How many of you think the heavens need some work? Right, so a couple of outliers out there. Right, so why is it that the heavens and the earth need to be restored? And the answer is that if we look more deeply into this book, what we discover is that human sin disrupts not only the earth, but the heavens. And by human sin, I mean selfishness, self-centeredness, violence, anger, brutality, war, abuse. All of these things rip not just at the heart of our relationships with one another, but they rip at our relationship with God. What they do, it's almost as if they create this distance between ourselves and God. And so what happens here is felt even more fully up in heaven. And so, if you will, what God is about is restoring not just what we see and feel and do here, but God is restoring that relationship between heaven and earth, because the relationship between heaven and earth is supposed to be one where we just get to hang with God. Think about that. We just get to hang with God. That's the image from beginning to end in the Scriptures, where we get to have this intimate, personal relationship with God that's passionate and loving. And that's what God wants to restore. That's what God is working at. And that idea, that concept, okay, that concept that God is about this work is what gave the people of God, the Israelite nation, hope. And if anybody needed hope, they did. Because as they looked out at the world, they didn't have to look out at the world to see how bad things were. Or they didn't have to look at somebody else to see how the relationship between God and humanity was strained. All they had to do was look at their own lives. They had been oppressed by foreign nations. They'd been sent into exile. They were being taxed to death. They struggled at times to have the freedom to worship and follow God. Life was not good, and it was easy for them to simply give up hope. But this idea that God was going to restore heaven and earth, this was what said to them, the possibility of a good future exists. And so what they did was they waited for the sign that God was going to act. And the reason I say that is that you go back into this passage out of Isaiah, into the 19th verse, and Isaiah is talking about the beginning of this restoration process, and this is what he says, "And I, meaning God, will set a sign among them. From them I will send survivors to the nations." See, God said there'll be a sign, okay? And so you just wait for it, and when you see this sign, you know that my work is going to begin. And so the people started looking for that sign. And where they looked for it was in really big events, big historic events. So the people, we're going to take a quick step back in the way, way back biblical time machine. We're going to step back to when the people of God were ripped out of their homeland and sent into exile in Babylon. Well, then along came a guy named Cyrus the Great, this Persian, who swept in and destroyed the Babylonians and sent the people back home. And by the way, the only time someone is referred to as a Messiah in the Old Testament is Cyrus. And so they thought, this is it, this is the sign. God's going to begin God's recreated work. Yeah, no. Nothing much happened. So then they began to rebuild the destroyed temple and recovenanted themselves with God, saying, sure, God, we'll do what you want to do. And they said, oh, this is it. This is the sign. Yeah, no. Still nothing. And then when their temple was desecrated by a Greek general and king, they thought, this is it. God's going to wreak revenge on these people. This is the sign. Nah. And so every time they thought they had the sign, it wasn't there. And so what happened was people began to give up hope. People began to believe that God wasn't going to be about this restorative work, that they were just going to sit in that car museum in St. Louis and never have someone come and lovingly restore them. But there were still some who looked for the sign. And that's where we come to the Gospel of Luke. And so what you had was shepherds out of, I love, you know, this language, abiding in the fields, watching over their flocks by night, when suddenly an angel of the Lord appears and says, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of a great joy that today in Bethlehem will be born a Messiah, the Lord, and this is the key, verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. This will be a sign to you. The sign somehow wasn't going to come in some huge, magnificent historical action. The sign was in the crib. It was in the manger that God's recreative work was beginning. It was starting simply, humbly. But if we listen to the rest of the Gospels, that wasn't the only sign. It wasn't the only sign of what God was doing. It wasn't the only sign of how God was restoring this relationship between heaven and earth, that God was breaking through. That if we believe the Gospel of John, all of the miracles in John are labeled as signs. This is a sign of God's recreative inbreaking work. And so think about it for a minute. So when they bring this woman who's caught in adultery to Jesus and they want to know if they should stone her. And eventually what happens is the accusers drift away and Jesus forgives her. That's a sign. Because it restores her relationship with the community and her relationship with God. When Jesus meets the leper and he lays his hand on him and he heals him, this is a sign because it restores this person to community and to wholeness and to health. Because this is what God is about. This is that new restored creation where things are like they ought to be. When Jesus feeds the 5,000, Jesus takes those who are hungry and makes them filled. This is a sign. This is the way the world ought to be. And so then finally it is the cross itself. That on the cross, what was left of that cover over earth and dividing us with heaven gets finally broken down. And what Jesus does on the cross and in the resurrection. And so suddenly, the restoration work, we can see it, we can experience it, and we can participate in it. Now, with Mark, I assume that he finally got to a spot with that 54 vet where he said, I'm done. You know, any of you who've done this sort of restoration work, I assume you know what you're working for, and you finally get there, and it's ready to show to people and maybe to take to a show and let people drive, and it's done. Well, unfortunately, with God's restoration work, yeah, we all just said a few minutes ago, we look out at the world, and it's obvious, yeah, this is an ongoing process. that God's not done with this work yet. But that comes as a gift to us. Because what it means is we can be part of that restoration team. Though Mark did the vet all by himself, God is not doing this stuff all by himself. God is asking us to participate. And we participate in this in two ways. We participate by lifting up and pouring out. Lifting up, pouring out. We do it by lifting up. Because when we lift our eyes, you know, this is the metaphor of heaven being up and we're down. When we lift our eyes to heaven, when we lift our voices to God, whether it is in song, whether it is in prayer, whether it is in praise of God, when we lift up, we are slowly dissolving that membrane between heaven and earth. And what we lift up is lifted into the very presence of God. And we begin to break down and rebuild and restore. And restore that relationship. And restore that connection. And so that's the first step, is to lift up. And that's why prayer matters. It matters for so many reasons. But one is that we get to lift our voices into the very presence of God. The second part is pouring out. Because as we lift up, what is poured out upon us is the love and grace of God. Like rain on a desert, God's grace comes down upon us. And our task is not to hold it in, to be this sort of infinite reservoir, but it is to open the sluices on the dam and let it flow out into the world. To let it flow out in love, acceptance, compassion, service, kindness. Because when we do that, we are restoring the world. We are bringing it back into what it's supposed to be. That's the opportunity that each of us has to lift up, to pour out, to be part of God's restoration team. And so that's my challenge for you. For this Christmas season and for this week, to ask yourselves, how am I lifting up? How am I pouring out that I might help God bring about the restoration of heaven and earth, helping God to make it good as new? Let us pray. Gracious God, it is such a gift to be invited into this restoration work. Help us to take up our part. Help us to take it seriously. Help us to live it out. That this world, this heaven, this earth might be what you want it to be. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. At this time of giving, this time of year, we just think a lot about exchanging gifts, what to give for whom. But every week we also say and recognize that all comes from God. So today, with joy, with gratitude, let us return some of those gifts back to God with our offerings.
Thank you.
loving and generous God, please accept these gifts and accept us to be part of your restoration project. Guide us and inspire us to listen to your will and follow it, for that is where restoration will come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There are a lot of prayer requests here. There is always a lot of need in the world, a lot of hurt, also joy. And at this time, those emotions are sharper. They seem to be stronger. And so do know that we will pray for each one of these prayer requests during the week, that they are precious. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks that you loved us enough to send your only Son. As we quickly approach the day we celebrate Christ's birth, help us to open wide the doors of our hearts. Help us to remember the importance of what happened so long ago when Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel, to remember the words of the prophets and the teachers of old, and to celebrate all the promises that you made through them. Help us to take firm hold of the meaning of all these things, and to know in the depths of our being that even now you are seeking to work in us and through us to fulfill the promises you have made. We pray, O God, for all those in need, for those who need a second birth, for those who need restoration, for those who need a tender touch and a healing word, for those who know no peace, for those who feel alone or hopeless. And today we do especially lift before you those named in these prayer requests. God, we ask that you hear us, but we also ask that you help us to hear you better. Guide us to listen deeply to your truth speaking in us. Guide us to listen fully to the hope you place in us. Extend our listening until we listen with our whole being. Extend our listening until we hear the whole of your voice. Extend our listening that we may magnify you and guide us to respond righteously. Empower us to be humble bearers of your light and shine brightly in the darkness. And now hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of forever.
Thank you.
Before I pronounce the benediction, I'm going to ask Roger Blair if he'll come up and escort Joanne down to Knox, so that she doesn't get grabbed up in all the traffic coming out. And we're celebrating not only Joanne's ministry with us, but Roger's ministry with us as well. He's just done so many things for us. They are a team. So they're going to head on down. Please know that if you need a lift, there is a lift down to get you into Knox Hall. We invite everyone to come down to have cookies, punch, coffee, and celebrate with Joanne. We have some presentations to make. We have a video to show you. It'll make you cry. So come on down and celebrate. And now receive the benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.